Thanks. Been brilliant morning, hasn't it? Yeah. We've got a great God, haven't we? It's fantastic. Sometimes when you sat out there and you're getting ready to preach in the previous week, like last week, somebody gets up and preaches like Jo, and she goes and says everything that I'm supposed to be saying, you know. Perhaps you call her Lady Huddleston, actually, because seeing as the extinguished, you know, the distinguished circles that she's moving in. But, you know, Lady Huddleston, she came up and she preached. And I was thinking, if you keep preaching much longer like that, I'm going to have to change what I'm going to say. But I think maybe it's something that we need to hear. Maybe something we've got to listen to. Because some of the things that are coming out again. And it's come out again this morning, actually. Some of the stuff. But before we get into that, have you ever looked at something and it's not quite... You look at it and you have to look again because it's not quite, it doesn't seem quite right. Got a few pictures here to look at. That girl there, has she got extraordinarily long arms? or what? Next. Is that very dangerous? That'd be very dangerous. Just look at it. Or what? Look at the railway. It's not far away. It's actually a model of railways, just hold it above it, yeah? Next one. If that's safari park, then there are mighty big monkeys there. It's all a matter of perspective. And the next one. Well, what can you say about that one? Does anybody know anybody like that? And the next one, baby's got immense feet. That's one more. That's why I should never feed the seagulls, because that's what happens if you do. And is that a car and a van? Oh no, have a look closely. Have you seen it? And then, can you see? Have you seen it? No, and then that dog. That's a very weird dog. Two-headed dog. You know, but I think is that the last one? Is that the last one? Is it? I think that's the last one, isn't it? Yeah. Well, some things don't appear as like the real life when you first look at them. You have to look, and they're not exactly how they first appear. Has anybody ever read the story of Moses and the burning bush in the Bible? Anybody ever read it?
Yeah.
Well, I had a look for it, and I couldn't find it in the Bible. I'm going to get booted off now. I couldn't find the story in the Bible of Moses and the burning bush, because Moses, he was a shepherd. He was living in the desert, and he found this bush that was on fire, and that wasn't strange. Probably living where he was in the desert, because. You know, hot climate, probably had seen fires springing up. When he went to this bush, he went closer to it, he saw that it wasn't actually burning up, the bush wasn't burning. So it was actually the account of Moses and the bush that wouldn't burn, actually. If I get this piece of paper and I set it on fire, then I won't know what I'm saying, so you might be pleased, so I'll have to sit down. But if I set it on fire, then it might set the alarm off as well. That wasn't me this morning. But if set it on fire, then it crumpled up. There's nothing left of it except a load of ashes. But the bush, it wasn't burnt up, and so it was God was calling Moses' attention. He was doing something to get Moses' attention because the bush didn't burn. So God got Moses' attention. And sometimes God wants to get our attention. He wants us to listen, and he does something just to grab our attention, to get us to listen to what he has to say. This event in Moses' life, it was a turning point. Everything changed from that point on. God's people, the Israelites, they were living in Egypt. They were under very harsh conditions. They were living under as slaves in that situation. Going back many years, then they've gone as guests, but as we heard last week, they were now living as slaves, and they were going under very harsh conditions. But yet God had a plan, and God heard their cry, And God had a plan for Moses, and God had a plan for us. Whoever we are, God has got a plan for us. And that is good to know, isn't it? It's good to know that we are in God's plan. Moses was 80 years old when God called him in the desert. That's good to know that however old we are, then we're never too old for God to use us. You know, we might have we got a retirement plan? Are we planning for a pension? Are we saving up? We might have a date in which we're going to retire. And depending on how well our pension does or doesn't do, as might be the case in these days, depends on when we can retire or not. But in the kingdom of God, there's no retirement age. You've got to keep on going. There's never a time for retirement. As long as you're breathing, then God has still got a plan and a purpose for you. And God called Moses when he was 80 years old. Sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone. That's the only way that we grow in God, is to step out of our comfort zone and to do new things. But the thing is, something that we stepped out of our comfort zone with yesterday, and which was hard and which was a new thing, it becomes today's area of comfort, the comfort zone that we're in. We've experienced that as a church. Some of us have been here a while. When we were in the old building, we started to go to the cinema, having services there. And that was strange, you know, when we first suggested that. But that quickly became something that we became used to. And then the idea that we might be buying the cinema. And that was another area where we were stepping out of our comfort zone. But then we moved on, and this building became available. And the thought of getting this building and seeing the mess that we were in at the time, we were stepping out of our comfort zone into something new. And now we come here and we're used to it. And this, what was something really strange and really hard to think about, this is now our comfort zone. You know, so God has got new things. God doesn't want us to stay here. We're not to remain here, but we're to move on to the next thing that God has got. Because God has got new plans for us. And that's how we grow. That's how we move on, by stepping into the next thing, what God has got for us. And just because we did that yesterday, because we said, I moved out into a new thing yesterday, I moved into out of my comfort zone yesterday, that doesn't mean that's it, that the story is done. Paul runs his marathons. When he gets to the second mile, he doesn't think, well, I did really good in the first mile, I can stop now, that's it. You know, he's got to keep on going for another 26 miles, another 25 miles. You know, and that's how we move on. Just because we've done well, just because we've moved on with God, then we don't stop. But we keep on moving into the new things that God has got for us. We always need to be ready to listen. Maybe we've been through a lot of change in our life. Moses had been through a lot of change in his life. It started off, he was an Israelite, but yet he was brought up in Pharaoh's household with all the privilege that meant. And as he moved on, as he grew, when he was 40 years old, then something happened, and this incident occurred where he actually saw one of his own people being ill-treated, one of the Israelites. He was an Israelite himself, even though he was brought up in Pharaoh's household. And he saw one of his people being ill-treated, and so he killed the Egyptian who was ill-treating him. As a result of that, he had to flee because his life was in danger because of what he'd done. And he had to flee into the desert. And then he became a shepherd for 40 years of his life. And he was a shepherd looking after sheep. Then when he was 80 years old, the greatest challenge in Moses' life came when God called him at this bush, the bush that wasn't burning. Everything that had happened before, actually, it might have seemed random, it might have seemed like a bit of a mess, but there was actually purpose in it all. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are, for that matter, God has got a plan and a purpose for you, and he's got plans for your life. Are you one of those people, one of those annoying people, and they get all the Christmas shopping done by the end of January? I bet there's somebody like that here, and they've got all the Christmas shopping done, haven't they? Come on. Nobody's prepared to admit it, but I bet you all there's somebody in here and they've done all the Christmas shopping and they feel really smug about it, don't they? Or are you one of those people who you wait until the 24th of December and you think, maybe I ought to start doing it? That's a bit like me. I always wait while the last minute. Or when you're going on holiday, you've got everything packed up like a month in advance, you know. And these people were really organized, really prepared in everything what they do. God actually likes to prepare us for what we're going to do. We don't always know that we've been prepared for it at the time. Moses' first 80 years of his life was actually preparation for what was to come for the big plan that God had called him for. 40 years he'd been living in Pharaoh's household. There's no better person than him who knew outside of that household, who knew how things went on in that household, who knew how things went on in those circles. And then the next 40 years of life, it seemed as though it was a random change. It seemed as though things had gone wrong. He thought about trying to help his people, but it went wrong, and so he ended up being a shepherd in the desert. And a very different life than the first 40, so two very different types of a lifestyle that he had in those first 80 years of his life, 40 years in living in the royal household, 40 years living in the desert looking after sheep. But like I said, it gave Moses that perspective of what life was like in the royal household. But then it also gave him perspective as to what it was like leading a bunch of stubborn people. Because he'd looked after a bunch of stubborn sheep and he'd look back and he'd probably think the sheep were a lot easier. It gave Moses real perspective because the time would come when he would be leading these people and they would be a rebellious people much of the time. At one time, this is how much he learned, God came to Moses and he said, I've had enough of these people, the Israelites. I'm going to wipe them all out and I'm going to start again with you. I wonder if Paul's ever thought, I wish God had come to me and said, I've had enough of that church at Hope House. I'm going to wipe them all out, Paul, and I'm going to start again just with you, you know. But Moses said to God, no, he says, don't do it. I don't want you to do that. He says, because if the people around see that is the case, then they will say that you couldn't deliver the people. And that's the response that God wanted. God was testing Moses. That's the response that God wanted from him. He wanted him to say, no, don't destroy these people. And so, hopefully, that's the response that Paul will have if the same thing happens. So everything that happened before wasn't a waste of time. It wasn't just random events that happened. God had got plans and purpose in it. God was preparing Moses for what was to happen. Then this call of God came on Moses' life as Moses is before this bush, and it takes him by surprise. He wasn't bargaining on what was going to happen. He wasn't bargaining on this. It was just a normal day, a day like any other. And he had no idea that the whole of his life would be changed from that moment on. There are many times when God is calling us into some new area and we're reluctant to go. Moses was reluctant. But yet when the first words that God came up with, when he spoke to Moses, Moses probably shouted, amen, this is what it says. Can we put the next one up? I think the words are on there. It says, the Lord said, this is when God is speaking to Moses at this bush what is on fire. He says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I will come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I think when God said that to Moses, I think Moses was saying, hallelujah, amen, I'll go with that. God is going to deliver his people. Fantastic, he's heard our prayer. But God didn't stop there. He went on and said this. He said, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now hold on a minute. Moses is stood there and God says to him, he says, I'm going to deliver my people. That's fair enough. God, you can deliver your people. I'm fine with that. But then now you're going to say, I'm going to send you to do it. He said, Moses, you know, which one is it? Are you going to deliver your people or are you sending me? Because I don't want to go. I'm not, you know, I'm looking after these sheep. I'm busy. But Moses was not prepared for what God was going to say. And sometimes we need to be careful what we pray. When we pray, God, save the people in Barnsley, do a mighty work in Barnsley, and God might say, amen, I'm going to do that work. But you just volunteered yourself for doing a lot of work yourself, because God is going to do it, but he's going to use you and he's going to use me to do that. He's not going to just do it. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just pray and everybody would just rush into the church, and, you know, it'd be brilliant, that, wouldn't it? And they'd all get saved and they'd all be well-balanced people, you know, where all the problems would disappear. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? That's not how it works. So if you're going to pray for God to work and God to do a work in this town, God, we can believe that God will do that. But God is going to use us to do that. So Moses comes along and he thinks, I don't want to do this. It's not me. It's encouraging to know, really, that these giants of faith, people like Moses, he was a normal person. He had all the excuses. He had all a load of excuses to why he couldn't do it. And he comes up with these excuses. Why he can't do it. He's not the person for the job. God, you've got it wrong this time. There's somebody else we can send, not me. So the first thing that Moses says, he says, who am I? That's what he said. Who am I? It says in Exodus 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? It's something that I suspect we all think from time to time. Who am I that I should do this job? Who am I? We heard very powerfully last week from Jo. She spoke about this. Sometimes we think we are not worthy. We are not good enough. I guess it's something that some of us need to hear, because we heard it last week and we need to hear it, because it might not have sunk in. Well, it needs to sink in. When we think, I'm not worthy, that is a lie. Yeah. In fact, God has made us worthy through Jesus. Yeah. In his own strength, we are not worthy, actually. None of us have got anything in our own ability, but Jesus loved us so much. Jesus thought so much about us that he came and that he died for us. So how dare we say that we are not worthy? How dare we say, I can't do that? Because Jesus loved us enough to die for us. God doesn't call us because we're worthy or good enough. The truth is, as we say, none of us are worthy in our own strength. But as we heard last week, we aren't defined by the labels that people have put on us in our past. Whatever that label is, whatever somebody has put on you, if you said that you're worthless, if you said that you're rubbish, said that you're no good, whatever those negative labels are, when it comes to the cross, Jesus wipes them away, and he wipes his labels away, and they've gone. They're no longer there. And Jesus replaces them, and he gives us a new name, and he gives us a new purpose. And he says, I've got plans for you, and I'm not going to let you go. Moses, looking at his life, he thinks, what a mess I've made. What, you know, I lived in the household of Pharaoh, and I couldn't, you know, I saw my people, the Israelites, suffering, but I didn't do anything. I couldn't do anything to help them. And when I did try to help them, it all ended up a big mess, and I ended up having to run for my life. But yet, God had his hand on it all. What had happened didn't seem to qualify Moses, but it did. Moses was qualified because God said, I'm sending you. Do you feel like you've been called to some new challenge, but you doubt that you can do it? Doubts come ringing in, you can't do this. You know, perhaps you feel sometimes that when God is calling you, and in the best moments you think, yeah, I can do that, when God has called me. And then you look back and you think, no, I can't do that. How stupid am I to think that God is calling me to do that? But we're not to think like that. That is a lie, because when God calls us, then he calls us for a reason, because God equips us. Jesus died for us that we might be made right with him. So often we let our past cloud our present, but we have a God who through Jesus has redeemed our past. The names that were written over our life have been rubbed out, and he's given us that new name. Do you feel unqualified to do the job that God has called you to do? It might be a specific job. It might be to speak to somebody at work about Jesus. It might just be to open your mouth to somebody. Whatever it is, whatever that job is, do you feel unqualified? Do you feel you can't do it in your own strength? Well, if we relied on our own strength, then we wouldn't get anything done. But God said to Moses, I will be with you. To the unqualified and the unworthy, God qualifies them through Jesus. God gives them what they need. Those famous words were even many times in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus tells the disciples to go into all the world. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus commands us to go out and to make disciples, but yet he says, I am with you. I go with you. He doesn't send us out on his own, but Jesus goes with us. And God said to Moses, I will be with you. And that's what he says to us as well. And then secondly, the second excuse, many of these excuses are in the form of questions that Moses came with. He says, who is God? And it says in Exodus 3 verse 13, he says, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What then shall I tell them? It's at this point that I'm glad that Jo spoke last week, because that's one of the hardest ones to come across. And she, you know, she did all the hard work there for me. So good on you, Jo. Brilliant. As we heard very powerfully last week, the name that God revealed himself to Moses to, he says, I am who I am. And Joe encouraged us last week that the truth that God's name is more powerful than any other name that's been written over us. God's name overcomes any other name, anything else that's been given to us. Any other thing that we believe disqualifies us, God wipes that away. And the name of God, we go with that powerful name. That is the name that we go with, the powerful name of Jesus into anything that God calls us to do. If God calls us, then we go with that name, the name of Jesus, the name that is more powerful than any other name. And that qualifies us. That name of Jesus qualifies us. And so those negative words that we've been labelled with are overcome because we go in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to spend time on that one because Joe brought it so brilliantly last week. If you've not heard last week's message, then listen to the podcast because it's worth listening to. Just take that time because it really is worth it. And the third excuse, what if they don't believe me? None of us like rejection, do we? We don't like it. And Moses was afraid. He says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? You know, perhaps that's what's stopping us from speaking to somebody. You know, if we speak to somebody, if we tell them about Jesus, then they might not believe us. They might laugh at us. They might think we're silly. We don't like rejection. And that often stops us from speaking or from just doing the thing that God has called us to do. God performed a number of miraculous signs to Moses, and he told him that these would be an evidence to the people that God was speaking, that God was speaking through Moses. However, I think Paul might have mentioned it a few weeks ago, somebody did, the miracles that Jesus did many miracles, but they didn't always convince people. The people didn't actually dispute the miracles. They didn't say, well, these weren't really miracles. They didn't look for an excuse to say that they didn't really happen. That's happened in later years when people try to do that. But the people at the time didn't do that. The people who were against Jesus, they knew that Jesus rose people from the dead. They knew that Jesus healed the sick, but they tried to find excuses to why God wasn't with him. And you can't believe it, can you, that after such amazing evidences, but yet they complained because he did it on the wrong day. And they said, well, of course, God can't be with him because he's healed somebody on the Sabbath. And so even if there are miracles, then people won't always believe. That's not something that people will always believe. We should pray, we should expect for God to work in extraordinary ways. We have a supernatural God, a God who created the universe, and to do supernatural things is not difficult for God. And we should pray for that to happen, and we should expect God to work. But yet, our responsibility isn't necessarily to convert people. Our responsibility is to do the work that God has told us to do. Tell the person about Jesus who God has laid on our hearts. Tell somebody, invite somebody to Alpha. Invite somebody to come to church. Whatever it is, whatever God has laid on your heart, the role that God has given you, which you were holding back from doing, that is your responsibility. It is not your responsibility to make sure that the people who you speak to are converted. That is God's, between them and God. We've got to trust in God and in His Holy Spirit to work in their lives. It's His responsibility. His Holy Spirit will work. When we do our part, then God will do His part. Whatever part we play, it's important. None of us have got an insignificant role in the church. We've all got significant and important roles. However, people's reaction is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to do or say what God has given us to do. We have to leave people with God. We have to allow His Holy Spirit to work. We've got to care about people. We've got to want them to come into the kingdom of God, but we cannot make people's decisions for them. Some people who we bring the gospel, some people who we try and, well, it's giving a bunch of flowers to, a bunch of daffodils, or some people will reject it. Some people will reject when we invite them, if we invite them to Alpha. Some people will reject when we tell them about Jesus and they won't want to know. Some people might do that, but some people will also accept the gift that we give. Some people will also accept the message that we do, and some people will be saved. But if we don't speak to anybody, if we don't tell anybody the good news, then no one's going to hear it, and no one's going to be saved. So don't let that fear of rejection hold you back. Don't be scared because people might not believe you. You know, people might not believe you. People might think that you're silly, that you're for believing in Jesus, for trusting in Jesus. They might think it's a silly thing, but not everyone will. Some people will respond and some people will be saved when we bring that good news. Then the next excuse that Moses came up with, I'm not eloquent. That's what he said. I can't speak to people. Moses raised another objection. Yeah, I've got it different on that one. It says, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words, neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and stammer. Moses thought he'd hit the jackpot with this one. You know, this is it. You know, you're calling me to stand before Pharaoh, to stand before all these people, the Israelites. You're telling me to speak to them all. Well, I can't speak. I stutter, I stammer, I'm no good with words. I'm not a public speaker. I can't do it. End of story. You know, what I'm going to say now, just bear me out, listen to me. Don't stone me or set fire to me before you've listened to what I've had to say. But not all of us are called to be evangelists. Some people say that we all should be evangelists. But an evangelist has got a very specific gift and a very specific ministry to have. Do you ever come across those people and they have a conversation with somebody and start having a conversation about the weather, and within 2 minutes they've been able to turn the conversation around to the second coming? You know, they're at a bus stop. That's a bus stop, and within 5 minutes, they've got half the bus stop, you know, on their knees repenting, you know. Within 15 minutes, if the bus is late, then they baptise them in a nearby puddle. Obviously, it's got to be a very deep puddle, because, of course, we've got to fully immerse them, so that's... You know, some people are like that. They can just talk to people so easily about Jesus, and it comes so naturally, doesn't it? But then some of us, like me, and... you know, you're talking to somebody, and then 10 minutes later you think, oh, if only I'd have said that, you know, if I'd said that, you know, they'd have been saved, you know, but... And we think, and it's afterwards we think, well, if I only had said that, and we struggle for the words. Some people are very gifted like that because they've got a gifting for evangelism. Might be some people minister to large crowds. Billy Graham used to do that. But if you looked at his message, it was very, very simple what Billy Graham spoke. But yet it was powerful because he was gifted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just enabled him to just communicate and to speak into people's lives, and he had hundreds who would respond to his message. Some people can do that job by speaking on one-to-one. But we're not all called to be evangelists. What we are called to do, though, is to be witnesses of the good news. Yeah. All of us. Yeah. None of us can get away with it. All of us are called who know Jesus. So you can't use the excuse and say, well, I'm not an evangelist. You are called to be a witness. Every one of us, I am called to be a witness, and each one of us, wherever we are in our Christian life, we are called to be a witness. What is a witness? Well, a witness simply gives the true story of their account. A witness in a court of law is supposed to speak truth, you know, the true account of what they have said. You know, they promise to tell the whole truth. And that is what we do. We simply, as a witness, we tell people about what we've experienced in Jesus, about what he has done. We tell them how he has changed our life. We tell them that he has done the good things that he has done. And we simply tell them that. And we're all called to do that, to be witnesses. We've all got a story to tell. We've got a story about what God has done in our lives, how Jesus transformed us. If we know him, then we have got that story. Some of us might have a really dramatic story, and it might seem really powerful, the message what we have. But then some of us might have a very ordinary story, and it seems, in comparison, it doesn't seem so amazing. And we weren't drug dealers by the time we were 5. We weren't a pimp by the time we were 6, you know. So what story is that I've got to tell, you know? Some people, that seems to be their story. Now, our story is, well, I brought up to go to church, and then I suddenly realised I needed Jesus, and that's it, you know. So I think it's boring, but it's not, because when God takes hold of a person's life, then it is not boring, it is not ordinary, because there's no ordinary people here, because we are people whom God has transformed. And for some people, that might be a very dramatic transformation. For some people, it might not be such a dramatic transformation outwardly. But when God has transformed us, then it is dramatic. So whether you're an evangelist or not, God has called us all to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus. Do you ever think that you're not capable of doing what God has called you to do? Do you think, I am not called to do that? I can't do that. It's beyond my ability. Something we need to really let sink in is that when God calls you, then he equips you. Personally, a number of years back, before I was at this church, somebody suggested to me, and a few people suggested to me, maybe you ought to consider preaching in front of people. And my reaction was, not on your life. I will never, ever do that. There are many things I would do or wouldn't do, but right down at the bottom of the list is standing in front of a bunch of people and speaking to them. Look at the person next to you. You think they look scary? Well, when there's 130 of them looking at you like that, then just think how scary that is. And that was, you know, that was my reaction. No, I will not do that. I'm not a person who naturally wants to be in public. I don't want the limelight. I'm not a person who talks a lot. I'm married. My wife's back there, some of you know, Carlis. And one of us tends to be more talkative than the other. I don't know if you've noticed which one it is. You know, some people might think, how does that work? You know, one of you talks so much, one of you doesn't. Well, actually, It's handy when you go to a social gathering, to a party or something, because she talks so that I don't have to, you know. So that's brilliant. I love it. And you know, I'm not the type of person naturally who would want to do this. I would not. That was my reaction. I will not do that. I will never consider it. But yet, when God has got a plan for you, then it's no matter how much you argue, you're onto a losing battle because God is going to get his way. And so if God is calling you to do something and you think, well, I can't do that, that is not something I would do. If God is calling you to do it, then don't resist him, because sooner or later, he's going to get his way. Then Moses' final excuse, well, he's actually run out of excuses. And he's got nothing else to say. And this is, it gets to, really gets to the crux of the matter. He says, send someone else. You know, that's it. You know, I've got no excuses. Just send someone else. This is what he says. He says, Moses begged, Lord, please send someone else to do it. So, you know, send Rob. You know, I don't want to go. Send Rob. Send Chris. Send Paul. I mean, Paul's the leader of the church. So send Paul, you know. Anybody, but don't send me. Look around you, and you probably think there's people so much more qualified to do what God has called you to do than you. But you know what? There is no one more qualified to do the role that God has called you to do than you yourself. God has called you. Whatever that role is, whatever that role that God is calling you to do, whether it's talking to somebody about Jesus, whether it's been involved in some particular area, it's you that God has qualified to do all that. So don't look around and say, that person is more qualified than me, because that's not true. If God has called you to do it, then you are the most qualified person for that job. There are people in your sphere of influence who no one else can connect to like you do. You know, no one else in the church can do that. You have got that unique influence. So don't go thinking that, you know, I can't do it. Don't go looking around and say, that person would be better at doing it, or that person would be better, or that. Just stop thinking like that. Just stop thinking that you are not qualified. As we've heard, you are qualified. God has called you. God has called each one of us, but God has called us for a purpose. And that is amazing, that the creator of the universe loves us so much that he has called us and he's got a purpose for us. And that is brilliant. If the band want to be making their way back. We're not on our own. God gave Aaron, Moses' brother, to go with him. And God gives us the church and the fellowship that we're in. It says in Hebrews 10:25 that we should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. So we're here to encourage one another. However, I can hear someone calling out, saying another excuse, and they're saying, well, that's all well and good, but if only I had some pointers to help me out. Somewhere I could get some help in sharing my faith. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned it, because we've just got just the right thing for you. And that's the Advanced Boot Camp. And if you've not signed up for it, then get your name on there now and sign up for it. You know, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant initiative with a Message Trust to help us to share our faith, to help us to tell people about Jesus. You know, and that's something that all of us could do. If you don't need it, then you should be leading the course. So sign your name up and put your name on there, and just sign your name and just get those helpers and those pointers. And while you're at it, you can sign up for Urban Impact as well while you're there. So whatever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever our background, whatever our past, God wants to use us. It's not for this is not a message for the person sat next to you. It's not a message for, don't go thinking, well, if only that person were here this morning, that's what they need to hear. This is a message for you, and it's a message for me as well, because God has called us and God has got a purpose for us. Jesus is our Saviour. When we've trusted in Jesus, then he qualifies us and he equips us. Don't believe the lie that the job that God has called you to do, you can't do it. That is a lie. That is what the enemy wants to whisper into our ear. He wants to say, you are no good. He wants to say, you can't do it. But Jesus says, I have qualified you, I have saved you, I have redeemed you, and I've got a purpose and a role for your life. The idea of doing what God has called us to do can seem scary, can seem challenging, it can seem really beyond what we can do. But when we surrender to God, the thing that seemed so scary, the thing that seemed the thing that we wouldn't want to do, most alien to us, is the thing that God gives us a passion for. I can say that myself, you know, as I said, the last thing I'd ever want to do was to stand in front of people and to bring God's word. I never ever wanted to do that. But when you surrender to God and when you surrender to his call on your life, then God gives you that passion and that excitement for doing his will. So it's not going to be, don't think that if you surrender to God, then the rest of your life's going to be dreary and that you're going to be, it's going to be awful. It's not, because when you surrender to him, then he gives you that passion to do what he's called you to do. So remember, whoever God calls, he equips. If God has called you, then he will equip you. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us. We thank you that when you call us, that you equip us and that you don't leave us on our own. Lord, we just pray that we will surrender to you and to your plans for our life and that you will use us as your church. Amen.
What an excellent word.